Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, like juice, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Here we go. I hope you are buckled up. This is our Saturday morning broadcast, 10:30 a.m. Central. I'm so glad that you are here. And we're going to talk about this Artemis thing because that's all in the news. But I want to show you a different twist on it because many of you maybe have never even heard of Artemis before this this expedition. Now, it's cool, you know, there's a lot of things to say about it. I'm not going to explore it 100%. But then after that, I have something very interesting to show you because last night, President Trump posted about, you know, tax day coming up and make sure to get your refund because so many people are getting refunds. And it turns out that there's a new form. Look at 1A because I didn't even realize and you can get a refund on that. So anyway, it just, you know, depends on what your situation is. All right. Anyway, but he had a Bible in front of him, open. And you couldn't tell what page it was on, but I have a feeling I know, and I'm going to show you that here at the end. Now, if you're new here, I'm Melissa Redpill. We look at the current events in the light of God's Word. This is literally biblical, what we're experiencing, what we're watching. This is the beginning of 1,000 years of peace on earth. It really honestly is. It's the beginning of the beautiful days that have been promised to us all throughout God's Word. And so I have written several books about it. If you definitely go and check this out over on MelissaRedpill.com, or you can get there also from freedomforce.live, and I have information about great news about the end times. It's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us, so definitely check into that. But what I'm going to do right now is we're on Rumble, and we're also on YouTube, and I'm going to click the link into the chat, so you guys make sure, if you possibly can, to be in both chats. I would love to have us cross-pollinate. not to get too personal, but we want to make sure that we are connecting in every which way we can so that we can join together to fight this battle against the bad guys and expose them. So thank you so much for doing that. There's the link right there if you see it over in the chat, and if you can go ahead and maybe have two windows open so you can chat on both while we're having our fun this morning. So here is, today. So many things I want to tell you. So yeah, today is the seventh day of the first week of the counting of the Omer. If you're not familiar with that, this is a biblical festival. And the reason that we celebrate them is not to say we're Jewish, because really the truth is we're spiritual Jews in God's Word. It's what it says. But the thing is, he said that if we would keep the festivals, that we would, first of all, he told us to do it, but that we would see certain things that we would not see otherwise. And for example, when President Trump attacked Iran to take down the Khomeini and the cabal and the whole bringing down this whole house of cards, that was on Purim, the festival of Purim. If you don't know about Purim, you would miss it completely. And then on the day when he had the scary, you know, the world's all sitting on the edge of their seats to see, you know, what's going to happen we're going to send this civilization and kill them all, which was ridiculous. Of course, he's not going to do that. That was on the seventh day of Passover, which celebrates the demise of the Egyptian army going into the Red Sea. This is all so biblical. It's not even funny. So the thing I want you to see on the counting of the Omer, it's a beautiful festival where we count 7 weeks, and your bundle of grain, if you can, you know, first time I ever did it, all I had was little sticks, but then now I use, I mean, you can use anything that you have 50 of. I used, what do you call it? Skewers, you know, that's all I had. But you can, now we have some beautiful, see the bundle of grain right behind me that is always behind me because that's the Omer bundle, like as in America. And this is, we're the bundle of grain, the golden bundle, the amber waves of grain. And so you count and next thing you know, you have this beautiful bundle of grain and it's like a beautiful bouquet. And so I have a feeling that with this Omer festival, this bundle, this starts the first fruits, the festival of first fruits. And of course, our Lord Jesus is the first fruits, the first one to rise. And so we are also the first fruits in that we are the first ones to awaken in this great awakening. So exciting the day we live in. I'm serious. You've got to pinch yourself. And so what I want you to see is the bundle is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're going to go, if you can go with us, we'd love that, on May 17th to the rededication of our country, which is in Washington, D.C., in the National Mall. We're going to have a huge celebration of rededicating our country to the Lord. And it's also called Jubilee on the website, on the White House website. They're calling it Jubilee. I didn't make them do that. And so this is really exciting because, you know, the Jubilee is the festival where we celebrate every 50 years. Supposed to, they never did. But anyway, everyone's debts being canceled and the captives being set free. So I just feel like we're heading toward this amazing, beautiful day, especially when right now what's happening in the news, here it is April 11th, 2026, and we see that this amazing peace negotiation is going on between Iran and the delegation, including Vice President J.D. Vance in Islamabad, Pakistan. What does that mean? Well, it's making Iran great again, which we were told was going to happen. So very exciting days that we're living in. So definitely stay tuned on our site because that's something different that we do. We look at the current events in the light of God's word because this is biblical. What we're experiencing is biblical and you have to, you know, have the eyes to see it. And so that's what I try to do. I'm going to show you some of that today. All right. So don't forget, if you like this type of information, definitely hit the like button right now, hit it right now and share this and subscribe. Make sure your bell is rung. You never know when I'm going to come on and have a special video for you. Let's jump in to start talking about Artemis. What is going on with Artemis? It's all over social media. Of course, last night, because of the splashdown and all of this, everybody was watching it. That was all that was being talked about on the mainstream media, which we know that the mainstream media is, you know, very highly controlled. But there were some telltale signs about Artemis that, you know, just briefly going into this for you, that it's clear that something is going on, you know, with Artemis, and that is not what we are being told in the news. And I really think that you know how it says, you know, blackout necessary. You know, they have that blackout that they do, you know, for some when they're coming into the Earth's atmosphere. And they make it very dramatic. And so, you know, just so many of these things just don't add up to me at all. But either way, this is one of the pictures that they sent back of the Earth. I didn't make them do this. They did it themselves. Well, anybody with, you know, Canva can create something like this, you know, with some kind of Photoshop, some kind of program. Even an amateur could create something like this. So here is the picture that they are purporting to be the Earth. Okay. So what I want you to, the reason I've got the little arrow here is because I want you to see the arrow being pointed at this very interesting wavy, like Trump hairline, cloud formation. Okay. So this was during the day. And then later in the evening, they did another picture, same hairline. It's Trump's hairline right there. And then they're showing this, you know, this light along the bottom. And, you know, most people, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. I know I'm just, every time I look at any of it, I'm just like, no, it's, I wish it was true. I wish I could just be excited and think that it's real. And it's just, you know, what they didn't do, you know, I guess eventually is going to come out. But this guy does a really good job. He's talking about the delay, the fake delay. And I'm not really going to go into it. I've shared this over on social media. Actually, I'll go ahead and pop this over in the chat. And then Songbird, if you don't mind popping it over in the YouTube chat for me, that would be so great. But yeah, so Because there's supposed to be a delay, and they're you know, they really need to practice. Honestly, if they're going to do this, they need to practice more. They should be more prepared, and they should be more prepared with their answers. But yeah, so the guy's waiting to respond. But the problem is, when you get a question, a lot of times you make a facial expression that you heard what that person says. I mean, that's just the way we, you know, humans interact. And so the person right next to him on the right, the name is Christina Koch. And I'm sorry, but I don't know. I just think that maybe this is not a female, but it's just, you know, a possibility. I don't know. It doesn't, you know, whatever. It's just what we have to deal with in this day and age, but soon we won't. Everyone's going to know if they're a boy or a girl. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to the day when it's not going to be this madness, and mental illness will be gone in the golden age, just so you know. If you're not familiar with my books, this one right here, The Golden Age, that I just released, that is over there. So if you've read that, please go ahead and do review of it, because I think that it'll really help people to see the wonderful truth about the golden age. And we're headed to this madness being stopped, literally. Anyway, so this person, Christina Koch, which I don't appreciate them using the word Christina, but whatever. So this person responded very quickly, and you could tell this person understood the question, and it was about the stars. And that's been a big conflict about, you know, do you see stars if you're out in outer space, or do you not see stars? And it would seem like they could get their lies straight. It would seem like that they could get it straight, but they can't. After all these years, it really would not get a good grade in school if they, you know, if you're trying to do something like this. You know, they need to prepare. The problem is, this is the problem. When you are speaking truth, then you're speaking from your own experience, and that all adds up. But when you're having to make up lies, you can't think of all the things that won't fit. And that's the problem with lying. It doesn't work. Right? But I want you to see this one. Also, this guy did a video, and it's in French, so I'm not going to play it. But he has a really interesting, several interesting takes. And I shared this over on our social media. But I want you to see specifically, because that's where they're arguing about whether you see stars or whether you don't see stars. And that's where he's talking about you put in making the vectors, whatever, in some Canva or some kind of program like that. But he was saying that, there was something else talking about the plush toy. I was going to talk about the simulation. Anyway, he's going into all these types of things. I think there was something specific I wanted to share, but yeah. That was one. I will go ahead and share that link over so you guys can look at that one. I just shared that this, but there's several. But today's video that I'm doing is really not so much about how NASA means deception and how you can't trust the thing that they say. And it's a huge, you know, financial boondoggle for them. You know, it's a big money pit for them to take all of our money. But it's also a way that President Trump is exposing them. I really do think that that's what it is. It's because he's getting it out here to us so that we can tell people what is the real truth. So, all right. So, but here's what MJ Truth, my friend MJ, found, because he took a picture. Okay. When they were asking the people, okay, do you see stars? So then they ended up sending out this picture. And they said, following a successful lunar flyby, the Artemis II astronauts captured this breathtaking photo of our galaxy, the Milky Way, on April 7th, 2026. Well, the problem is that in this day, we have this thing called 10EYE, T-I-N-E-Y-E. And MJ knows how to use this thing really, really well. And he ended up going and taking this picture and taking it into 10EYE and proved that this picture is from 2008. Busted. I mean, come on, you guys. Can you just take your own picture? If it's real, of course, even if it's fake, do you have to use one that is just some kind of cheesy photo that you found online? Right? So this is a problem that I think this is the problem. Let me tell you what the problem is. We've just believed what we were told for so long. They have not become good liars, and they don't realize that we are watching everything they do, and we have great people who are, you know, digging in and breaking this down, and they just can't seem to get that. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of people who don't think for themselves, who take the jab without even questioning, who, you know, just believe what they're told on the mainstream news. So there are a lot of people still doing that. But again, President Trump is always wanting to expose them and their lying and their boondoggle, where they just steal from us. And also, you know, giving us an opportunity to have them on the in the forefront so that we can help to expose the truth about them. So I want you to see how he did this. Check it out. All right. So he grabs this picture that they posted, 43 million views. Right? How many of those people believe that? I don't know. Here's where he went into TinEye, this browser. He popped in this picture, and it says 230 results. The file was from April 15th, 2008. The truth will set you free. Literally, you guys, the truth is setting us free. This is not a picture that they took. That was clearly that they were caught in a lie. They posted a photo of the new galaxy, stating it was the Artemis crew on April 7th, 2026. However, a reverse image search shows the same photo dating back to at least 2008. Case closed. NASA is fake. And then he says, we live in a firmament. LOL. Thank you, MJ. He's always got such great information if you're not familiar. Yeah, so this is really what they should do. If they were truly up there and they were taking a picture of our atmosphere, that's more like it. That's the image of Earth from Artemis 2, that would be more accurate, wouldn't it? Right, you guys? All right, so I want you to see that. But okay, so this is the thing I wanted you to see. This is, you know, I never, you know, Artemis 2 came out. They named it this Artemis 1, and now this is Artemis 2. And, you know, the first time that I had heard the word Artemis was in God's Word. Did you guys know this? This is in the book of Acts, chapter 19. And so I want you to see, what is this Artemis and why? Now, they're going to say that they named this expedition after this goddess. Okay, fine. But I want you to see what has happened with Artemis in the Bible, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, is going throughout. Of course, they were in Israel, but then he decided, I'm going to go into what is now known as Europe. He went into Turkey and Greece, and, you know, with Macedonia, and he went into those areas because people were receptive. And Paul, with his missionary zeal, he's like, well, I'm going where the people are interested, and I'm, you know, want to hear the truth. And so that's what he did. And so this was the beginning of the gospel, of the good news about Jesus coming into Europe. And this is our forefathers. Now, what I've learned since then, and many of you already have watched my videos on this, that the lost tribes of Israel had expanded into Europe, and, you know, all the way into England. Russia had gone all over, scattered like seed, just like the Lord said they would. And yes, they were. It would happen because they were punished for Baal worship. But more importantly, the Lord was scattering them so they would not be controlled in this clump. And that's the thing that we realize, is that when we're, you know, in one under this regime, then they force you into believing and doing things that you don't want to do. So we understand, you know, unfortunately, that the society had degraded so badly that they began to believe that they needed to sacrifice the children. It's just awful. So Paul is wanting to go over and bring the light of Christ into Europe. And so everywhere he goes, it turns into mayhem. So I want you to see some of these things. So, for example, here he was, you know, going into Corinth, which is right there, you know, on the, if you think of the Greek a peninsula, and so you've got Athens on one side, and then there's a little peninsula off of that called Corinth, or I'm sure you've heard the word Corinthians, and so it was a huge trade route, so that was a place that he went, and so they're all talking about that in Acts 19, and then he goes into the synagogues. So of course, he would go into the synagogues, and the people who were this lost tribes had synagogues built that they had created, they had built all over what is now known as Europe, and they would go and meet there for prayer. This is, think of this, before the Lord Jesus came and died and ascended, okay? All right, so now Paul is going over here and he's talking to the people saying, the Lord Jesus has come and he is the Son of God. He has fulfilled the mission to save us. He is the Lamb of God. When we celebrate Passover, he is the one that we are. He's the one who sups with us. He's the one who has come to rescue humanity. He died on the cross. He rose again, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So he would tell them all of this, and the Lord gave him special ability to speak and special ability to do miracles. So we're going to see that just in a second. So that really, you know, people realize, hey, this guy, you know, has signs, evidence that he's about what he's saying. All right, so Paul went into the synagogue. He preached boldly for the next 3 months. He argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. It's a similar thing that happens all the time. You speak the truth, some receive, some don't. And just like with Jesus, you know, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. So he went into more of a school, you know, educational setting. This went on for the next 2 years. So the people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greek, heard the word of the Lord there in this area of Corinth. At this point, he's in Ephesus. This is when he goes into Ephesus. Ephesus is Turkey, modern day Turkey. Okay. So God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and the evil spirits were expelled. So there you go. All this is happening in Ephesus. So now we're going to get to how does this connect to Artemis? A group of Jews were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord. Okay, I'm not going to go into all that. That's something take too much time. All right, so let me just go and move forward to what happened when they in verse 17. The story of what happened spread quickly all throughout Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. What do you mean by this solemn fear? Well, it's because they realized they had been worshiping false gods. They had been offering these children. They said, this is evil. We cannot continue to do this. The Lord does not want us to do this. The true sacrifice for sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. He did die and he was punished for our sins, but he rose again and he is the Lord over all. He does not want anyone to hurt children. That is not what he wants at all. And many who became believers confessed their sins. They confessed what they had been doing. And so a number of them had been practicing sorcery through their incantations and they burned them in the public bonfire. And the value of the books was like $1 million. They really had a come to Jesus moment, seriously. So the message about the Lord spread widely and they had a powerful effect. Afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go into Macedonia and Achaia before going on to Jerusalem. And he said, after that, I must go to Rome. And so he sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. About that time, serious trouble. I'm sure that the top Khazarians had gotten the message about what Paul was doing. And so they did not like it. And so they sent a whole entourage over here to fight him and to stop him because they knew the power of the truth. Just like I was showing you the picture of the earth. I'm like, okay, with the hair, you know, like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And once they saw the truth about Jesus and the truth that God had never intended for them to do Baal worship, that Baal was a false god. Once they saw it, then there was no turning back. And so they had to stop it if they possibly could. And so they sent an entourage over to Ephesus to stir up all this trouble. And it began with Demetrius, a silversmith who had a large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis. I told you I was going to get to Artemis. There you go. I finally got to it. All right, so here's Artemis. She's a real looker. what a look. That's quite a look right there. Artemis. There you go. How about that? Y'all want a statue of Artemis? I don't think so. All right. So it was basically a sex god. Okay. There you go. And so anything goes pretty much. And so, yeah. So they have this when you look up Artemis, it talks about that she's primarily depicted with a bow and arrow, quiver and sacred animals like the deer and the bear. This is the modern day cleaned up one, because this one's maybe not quite as much, right? But this is this was the original one. This is the one that you find when you dig up, archaeological digs, etc. So she protects young children, especially girls, and oversees transitions in life, including childbirth and sudden death. Now, I think that's really what she was about. She was about a sex goddess who they worshipped at their temples, and that they would do all these things, and children, and just think Epstein Island on steroids. Okay, that's what Artemis is about. That's why I wanted to have this video today, where I talked about what is Artemis. Artemis is basically this Epstein Island sex god. Okay, so they're saying three major virgin goddesses in Greek mythology. Well, yeah, because they want to take the virginity away from the children. There's partial truth in this, okay? All right, so I'm not going to go into it any more about that, but I just wanted you to see, the true history of Artemis, and they would call her also Diana. All right, so now let's keep going. What happened with this whole hubbub that's going on? So he's a huge silversmith. He's got this big business. There's a lot of people who are, getting jobs out of this. So that always gets people in a stir if they think that their financial situation is going to be affected. So he kept a lot of craftsmen busy, it says. He called them together along with others employed in similar trades and addressed them saying, "Gentlemen, our wealth comes from this business. We're rolling in it because we're always making these statues to this Artemis. And this is big money for us, and we don't want that to be curtailed." So, that as you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't really gods at all. And he's not done this. He's done this not only here in Ephesus, but throughout the entire province. So, in other words, down in, all throughout Turkey, the word had spread, all throughout Corinth. And, let's just be honest. I'm sure this was not good for anybody. This was not a good thing. You think, we kind of sugarcoat it a little bit and go, this is just what they did. This was so detrimental to their society. This was so bad for the family structure and I'm just going to the temple, honey. I'll see you later. And no, that was not really what the society could grow and thrive on, that kind of thing. So, people were catching on and realizing that they had been hoodwinked. And this was they were connecting the dots. I'm sure that Paul was telling them that this was the very reason with this Baal worship morphed into Artemis worship. It's the same thing, basically. That was the reason that the Lord had kicked them out of the land to begin with. And here they were doing the same thing, even though they were scattered. And they were having these shrines to Artemis because they were brainwashed into thinking that was the thing to do. And he's like, no, you've got to stop. This is, and the Lord will forgive you, but you've got to snap out of it and wake up and realize that you cannot continue to do this. You cannot continue to have, all these orgies and the children. It's just, no, it's got to stop. And there is forgiveness and healing in Christ, but you can't just continue with it, right? So, yeah, and that these are not, the Artemis is not a depiction of what God wants you to do. When they would see this little shrine, this little statue that was made, many of them, out of silver or covered with silver, they would say, oh, God wants us to do this, This is what God wants us to do. So we must do this, right? Just like you've seen on movies, the sacrifice of the virgin, etc. All right, so he's persuading them that they aren't gods at all. They're like, oh, no, it's going to affect our business. They cared nothing about the children or the families or the all of these things that were happening. All they were concerned about was if they could continue making all this money. He said, of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect for our business. People won't have the great respect for our Oh, gosh. Can you imagine having respect for a business where they're making shrines for orgies and sacrifice of children? I mean, the whole thing it's outrageous. that even that would even be a thing, but it was. I'm concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence, and that Artemis, this magnificent goddess worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her great prestige. He's worried about that because he knows it'll affect their business. Okay, let's connect the dots. What this is talking about is us, being hoodwinked into thinking this Artemis is legit. And they don't want it to be where people, it's a big boondoggle for them. It's a big money-making scheme. They've been making money off of this for a long, long time. And he's like, we don't want that to end. We don't want the big NASA financial boondoggle to end, right? And if people realize that the whole thing is fakery, then our whole money-making scheme comes down around her ears. And this whole thing where we're just doing this in a movie studio and getting billions of dollars, untold amount of money, and the children being, they love it also because the children don't understand, the truth about any of these things. They're being taught misled and taught misinformation and being taught that this is where we live. I mean, that's got to stop. We got to have the truth. Again, truth sets us free. Cannot continue to teach lies and expect there to be any semblance of sanity in this world. And they, and if they can get away with one lie like this big one, then they can get away with 50. So yeah, this is what they were saying. They were so worried about Artemis losing her prestige because it was going to lose their big money. And so it's not a coincidence. These people know Artemis is in the Bible. The ones who, maybe the peons don't, but the ones who made this up know the history of Artemis. They know the history of this false god. They know that this is a pedophile god. They know. All right, so some of the officials and friends of Paul also sent him a message begging him not to risk his life by entering. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 28. At this, their anger boiled and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Screaming. Well, let's just scream louder. Just make this screaming louder. Make more protests and make more screaming, and then you'll be able to get what you want. That's what they do. Just like these people, banging a drum and walking through the town and get, F ICE and all this, the things that they're saying, just shout it louder and it'll make it, where people will do what you say. And most of the time people are like, okay, fine, whatever. But they're like, at this point, they said, we're not going to continue with following Artemis and your deception and leading us into sin against the Lord. We're not doing that. And so I wonder if humanity is at the point where we're like, okay, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to be sitting around believing what's force-fed to us through the media and being so excited about something that is just being done in a movie theater, movie studio. They're screaming, though, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was filled with confusion. Everyone rushed to the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, who were Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. Paul wanted to go in, too, but the believers wouldn't let him. Some of the officials, friends of Paul, also sent a message to him begging him not to risk his life by entering the amphitheater. Inside, the people were all shouting some one thing, some another. Everyone was in confusion. Isn't that the case? How many times have we seen these protesters and they're asked, what are you, protesting? What has Trump done? And they can't come up with an answer. They're just all caught up in the hubbub and the mayhem. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. Is that exactly what we're seeing? They don't even know why they're there. This is so much the same. It's the same we've always seen. This goes around, comes around. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander forward and told him to explain the situation. He motioned for silence and tried to speak, but when the crowd realized he was a Jew, they started shouting again and kept it up for about 2 hours. Great, it's Artemis of the Ephesians. Great, it's Artemis of the Ephesians. Great, it's la 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 la. For 2 hours, because they can't allow him to speak the truth. That's what they can't allow. That's why we've been canceled. That's why they pushed down our videos so many times. And that's why I thank you so much for pushing the like button and sharing this information and getting it out wherever you can, because the truth sets us free. The truth definitely sets us free. At last, the mayor was able to quiet them down enough to say, speak of citizens of Ephesians, of Ephesus. He said, everyone knows Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose image fell down to us from heaven. The image fell down to us from heaven. And that just reminds me of what I was looking for. Okay. Sorry. Pause just a second because I want to take it back and show you this. There was this guy's video right here. This one right here. He's got pictures of them coming back into basically coming out of a plane. Okay, let me see if I can find it because it's really important that it's that the, when they're, you know, and what he's saying. I thought it was on here, but maybe it's not on this one. There is a okay. Here we go. Check this out.
Ce qui expliquerait pourquoi on n'a pas de.
Okay, so yeah, I'm not going to have him speak because it's in French. I'm thinking most of you don't know French. Okay, so here is the lunar capsule, what they call, I think they call it a lunar capsule. And so it's coming back and they've got this picture of it, you know, coming across and flyer and all this. And everyone's just sitting and watching it and mesmerized because the more outrageous, the more mesmerizing it is. Let's just be honest. It's like a train wreck. Anyway, so it next thing you know, they take it to a plane and they spit it out of the back of a plane. And then they, you know, have it go with parachutes, just like what we saw. Okay, so here we go. They're taking it into a cargo plane. Yeah, there you go. Why is there no steam on the splashdown in 10 days? Whatever. All right, so anyways, watch the whole video and you can see. But I wanted you to connect the dots of how this is a image falling down to us from heaven. Isn't this? I mean, this is exactly the same. This is an image. This is a thing falling down from heaven. Okay, so back in the day, they said this Artemis statue right here. Right one. That Artemis statue, this one. That this statue had literally fallen down from heaven. This statue right here. I mean, not that one, but one similar to that. And so they would make a lot of, this is the lie they told. And people believed it. And we can't really make fun of them because our society has done the same thing. You have more voices and all these people with all these PhDs and all these accolades and all these letters after their name. You're like, oh, well, they must be telling the truth because it's on the news, you know. And so when they said, oh, this thing fell from heaven, then everyone wants one. Make a replica of this image that fell from heaven with the funny looking boobs. Like, how many does she have? Like 20? That's a lot. All right. So then, so everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose image fell down to us from heaven. Since this is an undeniable fact. Undeniable fact. Isn't this great how all these people in power always just say this is an indisputable, undeniable, incontrovertible fact. Right? You should stay calm. Don't do anything rash. We know this is fact. This is not a worry. Don't worry. We know that Artemis fell down to from heaven. And we know that that is the case because we've told that lie for 100 years, whatever it is. Anyway, you have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple. They have not spoken against our goddess. If Demetrius and the craftsmen have a case against them, the courts are in session. The officials can hear the case at once. Let them make their formal charges. And if there are complaints about these matters, they can be settled in the legal assembly. I think that was great. It's always really nice when you've got one person who will stand up and be reasonable. Let's be that person. When everybody else is losing their minds and having a riot, let's have just stand up and speak the truth if we possibly can. Of course, it was after 2 hours of them screaming, you know, but either way, so somehow or another, he was able to get them to go, hey, if there's, I think they were just basically worn out from screaming. And finally said, we got to stop in a minute and listen to this guy. So, you know, basically that he says, look, just if there's a criminal case to the courts, that's not what they wanted. They wanted a protest. They wanted a riot. They wanted a mayhem. They wanted Paul to go away. And for the truth to not come out that this was whole malarkey. Okay. All right. I'm afraid we're in danger of being charged with rioting by the Roman government since there is no cause for this commotion. And if Rome demands an explanation, we won't know what to say. then he dismissed them and they dispersed. Everybody just go home. Don't want to get in trouble. And that was a wise thing too, because they knew the Roman government did not play and they still liked to crucify people. This was how they kept people in check. This was not just a one-time thing in Israel. They did this all over. All right, so I want you to see that. Who likes Artemis? Who likes the story of Artemis? How about that? That's the truth about Artemis. That's why I saw all this video, the truth about Artemis. Boom. All right, so now y'all ready to see about President Trump? Part two. This is two videos in one. This is the second video. This is talking about what is President Trump doing. He came on. Oh, yeah, this is terrible. Okay, I'm going to show you what. Sorry, I went a little too fast. So this is what I saw last night. President Trump came on, and I played the video for you, but he's got a big Bible in front of him. Not a real big Bible. I've seen bigger, but he looks like, I got a Bible. I have several Bibles at my house, and so I went and found one I think is almost identical to the Bible that's in front of him, and I want to show you what I think he's reading. But I want to let you hear what he's saying, because what he's saying has nothing to do with the Bible sitting out in front of him. He's talking about tax day, so check this out.
And if you listen to the people, they can't believe all the money they're getting back in the form of refunds. The number is $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. So be careful. Get the money back and remember who got it for you. Tax filing.
There you go. That's awesome. All right. So this is President Trump. I think we've had a lot of people see this. So I'm going to share this. Yeah, it was almost 20,000 views of this one. So I'm going to share this over here so you guys can share that over on your social media. Okay, so there it is. That's the one right there. So thanks, Songbird, for sharing that for everyone to see. All right, so President Trump is saying about the tax filing. And yeah, so you can check and see if the new form is 1A, that maybe you'll get a tax refund on that. And so a lot of people are, especially, you know, the older folks, and it's not even just on Social Security, but that's look into. All right. So I think, okay, so let me show this Bible. Set it somewhere. Okay, here it is. I got a cute little mouse. Isn't that this cutest mouse? That cute? I got that new mouse because, yeah, I have... whatever. It's a long story. All right. So here is a Bible, and it's never been used. It's just a Bible I have that to give to someone if someone needed a Bible. And so if you look here, it's, you know, kind of like what he's got. All right. So I took it and I said, you know, let me just take like a third, kind of like what he's got, a third and a two thirds. See how he's got it open, kind of like that. That maybe doesn't. If you look at it, it's kind of like what he's got. See how this over on my right side, where I'm doing my pinky, that is a lot bigger than left side. Okay, so this is what he's got right out here in front of him. And so as soon as I opened it, it opened to what I thought in my head. I'm like, I have a feeling, and I put this on here, that he's in 2 Kings chapter 23. It looked like it was around that area. Gotcha. All right, so that's what I was thinking. And so I wanted you to see what is that about. And I've talked to you guys about, that's right there is the story of King Josiah. You might not be familiar with King Josiah, but he became king when he was 8 years old. And the reason I had this terrible picture of this little child was that with his face closed, with his eyes closed, is because, and I'll make sure you have the copy of this video also. I'll share this link for you. This video is about how Josiah had to witness these horrible sacrifices and the Baal worship when he was a child, and he was horrified because he's got a heart of a child. He's got this tender heart that has not gotten so angry and hateful and filled with evil. And so he did not, you know, when he became king, he says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put a stop to that. Well, it turned out in the Lord's timing, he became the king when he was 8 years old. Here's the one right here. Here is the one here, Josiah. Okay, Songbird, are you keeping up with me putting these over on on the other one? Okay, so so this is Josiah when he became king, literally when he was 8 years old. And So what he did was he had, and you can read this in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. And I think that's where President Trump was in this book, the Bible opened. It says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. So they had this wonderful peace for 31 years. All right, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he did have the high priest go to the temple, and they found the word of God as they were, you know, Josiah put money into the temple to clean it up and to get it everything fixed up nice, and they were, you know, having these craftsmen, these masons, these builders over there to repair the temple, kind of like what we're doing in a big picture is everything's being fixed. we're repairing this world because it has been so damaged by the criminal cabal, and not just building the physical things, but the spiritual. We're building up this temple to the Lord. And so when they were in there, though, they found God's law. In verse 8, it says, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the court secretary, I found the book of the law in the Lord's temple. Someone way back in the day, when they realized that the Baal worshipers were taking over, they hid a copy of God's word in the walls. Somehow, underneath, somewhere, they hid it because all the other copies had been burned. They had destroyed all these, all the Bibles, all the books of the law. And so Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan went to the king and reported, your officials have turned over the money collected to the temple of the Lord, to the workers and the supervisors of the temple. Shaphan also told the king, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a scroll. So Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard what it was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair because he realized that they were in big trouble because of what had happened. You know, it wasn't Josiah's fault. But all the same, the people were guilty of terrible crimes against the Lord for the things that they had done and the things that they had not done. And this is why we fight, all the evil that's going on in our society. Some people, oh, well, what business is it of yours? Because we're all responsible for our government, for our community, for our society, how things go, and that we will bear the consequences too if we do not get these things straightened out, at least trying our hardest. But this is what was happening. Josiah did try his hardest, and they were still, you know, under God's punishment for what they had done. It says, go to the temple, seek the Lord for me, for the people, and for all of Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that have been found. For the Lord's great anger is burning against us because of our ancestors did not obey the words in this scroll. We have not been doing everything it says we must do. And of course, doing things that it said clearly not to do. So Hilkiah, the priest, Achim, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Huldah. She was the wife of Shalom, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, the keeper of the temple wardrobe. Interesting, this is a female, okay, a prophetess. She said to them, the Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Go back and tell the people who sent you. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this city and its people. All the words written in the scroll and the king of Judah has written will come true. For my people have abandoned me and offered sacrifices to pagan gods. And I'm very angry with them for everything that they have done. My anger will burn against this place and it will not be quenched. So they had to hear the unfortunate truth that this was seriously, the Lord was not going to hold back. There was going to have to be serious consequences. It's, consequences are no fun, but that's what had to happen. And again, the consequences were, you know, always with the eye of mercy, because he said you've got to leave this land, because he knew as soon as Josiah was gone, other Baal worshiping leaders would be in take his place, and they would lead the people again into Baal worship, and they had to be scattered. And ostensibly, on the surface, it looks like this is going to be a punishment. And yes, it is, but it's also to save. Remember Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. The reason he wrote that, this is in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was telling them that they were going to have to be scattered, was because he had to give them hope and a future. And there would be no hope in a future if they were led by Baal worshipers. Okay. And that's what's so the big problem with this Artemis thing, because they had been scattered and then they were still falling into the same thing. It wasn't Baal worship, it was Artemis worship, but it was the same thing. Okay? And that's why Paul, we had to have, the gospel go forward. Paul went over to have the truth set them free, and that the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because before that, the demonic spirits just ran rife over everyone. Okay? All right. So go to the king of Judah who sent you to seek the Lord and tell him this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the message you heard. You were sorry and humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard when I said against this city and its people, that this land would be cursed and become desolate. You tore your clothes in despair and wept before me in repentance. That's the same thing you and I are doing. We are, yes, we're weeping in repentance. We may not always have tears coming down our eyes. We're like, the true repentance is where we're fighting the evil going on in our society, where we're exposing the truth. And that's the real issue. He doesn't want us to just go sit in the closet and cry all the time. He wants us to show that repentance by working to change our society to blast out the truth like Paul did, so that we can make effect change. I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. I will not send this promised disaster until after you've died and been buried in peace. You will not see the disaster I'm going to bring on the city. So that was 31 years that he ruled, and the people loved him, and he brought great, amazing peace during the time of Josiah. And but then he did die, and then another evil king came in after him. All right, I want you to see that is chapter 22, but I have a feeling, I don't know, and I tried to turn the picture of President Trump around so I could see if I could figure out what page he was on, but it was too. Hard, you couldn't make it out. If anybody has a way to make it out, please tell me if he's on 2 Kings chapter 23. And I'm going to read it to you from the Message version, because it's sometimes the Message version just says it in a way that's really easy to follow. I really like the NLT version, but today I'm going to just do the Message version. All right, so what did Josiah do? What did he do? Not only did he fix up the temple, not only did he lead the people to stop the Baal worship, but this is how he did it. All right, says, the king acted immediately, assembling all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king proceeded to the temple of God, bringing everyone in his train, priests and prophets and people ranging from the famous to the unknown. He did not say, oh, we're going to do that next year. He did it immediately. He read out publicly everything written in the book of the covenant that was found in the temple of God. Again, he's telling the truth to the people. Again, the truth sets us free. And the people began to realize, oh no, we're misled. This was in the temple all the time. We didn't even realize that this was the truth. And now it's being read to us. And then what are they going to do about it? And so with a good leader, then they can do the right thing. And he says, he stood by the pillar and before God solemnly committed them to the covenant. We are going, in other words, we're going to follow God's law. We're going to obey God's word. We're going to do this. We're going to end this evil that has been going on in our society. This is where you and I stand. We're going to end the child trafficking. We're going to end the corruption. We're going to end all this evil where the evildoers get away scot-free and the righteous are punished. We're going to stop all this war that has caused untold misery worldwide. We're going to stop all this evil that's being done to people's health. That's going to stop. And people are not going to continue to make money on evil. This is what the covenant with the Lord, the covenant of the Lord is basically to bring righteousness and peace into the world. To follow the Lord believingly and obediently, to follow his instructions, heart and soul, on what to believe and to do, to put into practice the entire covenant, all that was written in this book. The people stood in affirmation. Their commitment was unanimous. Yes, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to do. We stand with you, Josiah. So this was the wonderful King Josiah. Then the king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, his associate priest, and the temple sentries to clean the house, to get rid of everything in the temple of God that had been made for worshiping Baal and Asherah and the cosmic powers. He had them burned outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and then disposed of the ashes in Bethel. He fired the pagan priests whom the kings of Judah had hired to supervise this local sex and religion shrines in the towns of Judah and neighborhoods of Jerusalem. Much like Elijah right? Going in and destroying the prophets of Baal, much like one of my first videos that kind of went viral was when I talked about Epstein Island, cleaning out Epstein Island and getting rid of all these prophets of Baal who were doing all this evil down there. This is exactly the same type of thing that was happening. We're witnessing Josiah, you know, in our day. President Trump is, you know, he's also Josiah. If you haven't read this book right here, this one, this is biblical. I have the story of Josiah in this book. And you can also listen to it over on freedomforce.live. You can see the audiobooks. You can listen to all my audiobooks where I go into detail and in, you know, very methodically into the Decode of Revelation, which is this one, in your End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace, the Golden Age, which is where we're headed into beautiful, amazing, bright, beautiful days, the Major Clues for Minor Prophets, which is what all the prophets were telling us about this day, about that we would rise up, we'd wake up, and we would cast out the evil and worldwide. And then also, this is biblical. All these Bible stories that are being reenacted before our eyes, like the book of Josiah. Yay, or the story of Josiah. Okay, so then, so they're doing all this, they're removing all this. I'm going to read some of these things. I'm just telling you, it's colorful language, so prepare yourself if you've got kids around. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, his associate priest in the temple sentries, to clean the house. He had them burned, all these Asherah poles, burned outside Jerusalem in the fields. And then in a stroke, he swept the house clean, the country clean, of the polluting stench of the round-the-clock Baal worship, sun, moon, and stars, and the so-called cosmic powers. Now, when people say, oh, if you look at the stars, then you are worshiping the stars. No, this is where they would do this with their evil practices. This is not the same. The Lord put the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens for us, as it says in Genesis 1:14. For the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens for signs, seasons, days, and years, Genesis 1:14. Just like the wise men saw the Bethlehem star, and they were right, our Lord Jesus was being born. In the same way, we have seen many signs in the heavens. The only way you can really decode the book of Revelation is to go and see the stars, because the book of Revelation is chock full of stars. Here is the beautiful sign of the Son of Man our Lord Jesus told us to watch for, much like the Bethlehem star. And you'll see that this was exactly when there was the kickoff to the Great Awakening. It's from Revelation 12, 1 and 2. There was a woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, 12 stars in her head. She was in labor to be delivered. This is biblical what we're experiencing. This is the Great Awakening. It says in the Old Testament 18 times that when they see the woman in labor, this picture right here, they'll be in great panic. They're panicking because they realize we are not going to stop until this world is cleaned up, just like Josiah. All right, if you want to know more about that, go to Biblical Astronomy over on melissaredpill.com, Biblical Astronomy over on the video page. So he took down the obscene phallic Asherah pole from the temple of God he took it to the valley of Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it up, then ground up the ashes and scattered them in the cemetery. He tore out the rooms of the male sacred prostitutes that had been set up in the temple of God. Women also used those rooms for weavings for Asherah. He swept the outlying town of Judah clean of priests and smashed the sex and religion shrines where they worked their trade from one end of the country to the other, all the way from Geba to Beersheba. He smashed the sex and religion shrine that had been built up just to the left of the city gate for the private use of Joshua, the city manager. Mayor, even though these sex and religion priests did not defile the altar in the temple itself, they were part of the general priestly corruption and had to go. You get the idea? Get the idea. This, we're not putting up with this. Every last vestige will be cleaned up. I think that's what President Trump has the Bible turned to. I don't know. I just noticed his Bible on there. I'm like, okay, what is he reading? And when I just turned, it turned right to this. Okay, so that's what I'm thinking. Another possibility is just a couple of pages over. There's 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's possibility that the pages turn to that. I just have a feeling that especially with Melania coming out yesterday and doing the exposure of Epstein, a lot of hubbub about that, a lot of fake news about that. Trust President Trump, trust Melania. They are working together to save the children. Trust that. They are. And so when she comes out and she says she wants them to be brought before on a congressional record, and this is to be brought out, you know, this is a huge moment. And then President Trump potentially there with the Bible open to this page where they're going to clean up all the Baal worship. What do you guys think? I think so. Yes. Nicoletta says yes, exactly. Boom. Okay. Cleaning house. And then also, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, but they're going to clean up the reflecting pool. The reflecting pool is between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial, and it has been awful. If you've never been up there, it just looks like a swamp. So he's going to drain that swamp. He just talked about that this week. I just think that was not just about that reflecting pool. It's about draining the swamp. And he says it'll be done quickly. Come on, we're ready. Anyway, so this is what Josiah did. And look, there's more. I mean, I could just, this whole thing, it takes a while to clean all this up. But I know you're ready, and I am too. Josiah demolished the Topheth, the iron furnace griddle set up in the valley of Ben Hinnom for sacrificing the children in the fire. No longer could anyone burn son or daughter to the god Moloch. It's just awful. It's just awful. The Message version makes it a lot clearer than the NLT. He hauled off the horse statues honoring the sun god that the kings of Judah had set up near the entrance to the temple. They were in the courtyard next to the offices of Nathan-Melech, the warden. He burned up the sun chariots and so much rubbish. The king smashed all the altars to smithereens. This altar on the roof shrine of Ahaz and the various altars the kings of Judah had made, the altars of Manasseh that littered the courtyard of the temple, he smashed them all, pulverizing them to fragments and scattered their dust in the Valley Kidron. Valley Kidron is in between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. Remember, the Mount of Olives, right on the side of that, is when our Lord Jesus was in the Olive Grove, Gethsemane. So in the middle is the Kidron Valley, and they talk about this being like hell. It's like a it's it goes way, way, way down, like in pits of hell. Anyway, so they're putting this in the pits of hell symbolically, where it belongs, right? The king proceeded to make a clean sweep of all the sex and religion shrines that had proliferated east of Jerusalem on the south slope of Abomination Hill, the ones the Solomon king of Israel had built to the obscene Sidonian sex and sex goddess Ashtoreth, to Chemosh, the dirty old god of the Moabites, to Milcom, the depraved god of the Ammonites. So they had these people who had immigrated into the land who had brought their false gods along with them. And so taught them more evil from where they had come from. Think of MS-13. Think of this evil things that they brought into our country. He tore apart the altars, chopped down the phallic Asherah poles, and scattered old bones over the sites. While I'm on this phallic discussion, remember the in the in Ireland, there is that beautiful hill on which the kings, Judah kings, the original kings, were coronated. And now, and they would always take this pillar. Remember, I was reading to you just a little earlier in this chapter about that Josiah was standing next to a pillar. Well, it's really not about a pillar like a column. It's a pillar as in this stone of destiny. He was standing either, sometimes they would say he would stand on it or standing next to it. He was standing there. This was the stone. He's standing next to the stone. And the reason it's bringing it up is because that's his stone of authority. And so that was when they took the stone of destiny out of Jerusalem, and Jeremiah brought it over into Ireland, and they placed it on this hill in Ireland, the hill of Tara, Tara. That's the stone on which the kings were crowned. And so they have removed that stone. They've removed it. And I don't think it was necessarily left there all the time. But either way, it's no longer there. And they have in its place a phallic symbol. And it's because they're saying, you're not going to rule things. We're going to rule. And this is how we're going to rule with Baal worship. That's what it is. And so, yeah, that when we were in Ireland with a family get together, we went on a cruise and we went there. And yeah, I was right there. And it's still there. That phallic symbol is still there. And I'm ready for President Trump to go and destroy that thing. The people of Ireland need to destroy that thing. Okay. And just scatter all of this into pulverize it into dust and get it out of your country. He took care of the altars. And also, really, to be honest, all these gigantic, like the Washington Monument, what do you call obelisks? Those are basically phallic symbols. Sorry. But yeah, those have to go. And we'll have arches in their place, victory arches in their place. Remember, during the Civil War, they stop the construction. They said, we don't want this in our seat of power in Washington, D.C. And so, and especially Washington would not have wanted this monument to himself. And so this will, I feel sure, will come down and we'll have something much more beautiful in its place. All right. Anyway, so it says he took care of the altar and the shrine of Bethel that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had built, the same Jeroboam who had led Israel into the life of sin. He tore apart the altar, burned down the shrine, leaving it in ashes, and lit the fire to the phallic Asherah pole. So as Josiah looked over the scene, he noticed the tombs on the hillside. He ordered the bones be removed from the tombs, had them cremated on the ruined altars, desacralizing the evil altars. In other words, they aren't going to want to use these evil altars anymore because the bones of these people have been burned on them. Okay, they removed the bones. They were cremated on the ruined altars. He put this over there, and then they would not want to use it anymore. I don't understand exactly why, but either way, they would not, because it's been so much desecration. But they get holy. I don't know why they would not want to. Somebody put in the comments why they think that they would. This would be desacralizing the evil. This was fulfillment of the word of God spoken by the holy man years before when Jeroboam had stood by the altar at the sacred convocation. The king said, and that memorial stone, whose is that? They said, this is the grave of the holy man who spoke the message against the altar at Bethel that you have just fulfilled. He says, oh, then don't trouble his bones. So they left his bones undisturbed along with the bones of the prophet from Samaria. Okay, so maybe these were I'm guessing these were maybe false prophets. I don't really know. Sorry, I should have looked at that before I had this video. But the false prophets who helped the evil to be able to continue. That's what's got to stop. We cannot continue to have the false prophets in the churches and in the religious organizations who help this evil to continue. That has to stop. We have to be the tough ones who stand up and say, no, this has to stop. No more of this. All right. So that was it. Josiah hadn't finished. He moved through the towns of Samaria, where the kings of Israel had built the neighborhood sex and religious shrines. So all throughout the countryside he went, not just in the seat of power, but all throughout. And the shrines had angered God so much, he tore the shrines down, left them in ruins, just as at Bethel. Bethel is the seat of power. He killed all the priests who had conducted the sacrifices and cremated them on their own altars, thus desacralizing the altars. Only then did Joshua return to Jerusalem. The king now commanded the people, celebrate the Passover to God, your God, exactly as directed in the book of the covenant. Yay. The Passover had not been celebrated since the days that the judges judged Israel. None of the kings of Israel and Judah had celebrated it. But in the 18th year of the rule of Josiah, this very Passover was celebrated to God in Jerusalem. Now, he took over when he was 8, and it took him 18 years to get this done. I'm hoping and praying it's not going to take us 18 years to get this done. Anyway, but yeah, he scrubbed the place clean. He trashed the spirit mediums, sorcerers, domestic gods, and carved figures. All the vast accumulation of foul and obscene relics and images on display wherever you looked in Jerusalem and Judah, not one more was left. Josiah did this in obedience to the words of God, God's revelation written in the book Hilkiah the priest found in the temple of God. There was no king to compare with Josiah, neither before nor after, a king who turned in total and repentant obedience to God, heart and mind and strength, following the instructions revealed to and written by Moses. The world would never again see a king like Josiah. All right. But then the Lord was going to still, after his after he left, they were still going to have to be punished in the next generation. All right, what do you think about that, you guys? I don't know what ring the bell means. All right, I see you over there on the arch, talking about the arch and talking about, you know, claiming the right of the ownership of our country. Yes, I didn't think about that. It's like a rainbow. I love that. All right, so yeah, we are like the time of Josiah, and thank you, Lord, for President Trump, and a lot of people don't understand what he's doing. We're going to be talking about that a little bit tomorrow, as well as more of the things that are coming out on the news, because, yeah, this is the end times for them. Like it or not, this whole thing with Swalwell, enjoy the show, and they're throwing each other under the bus, and enjoy it. I think that's everything. That's everything I wanted to show you about Artemis, and it's everything I wanted to show you about what President Trump was reading. I just have a feeling that's what he's trying to tell us, is that he is going to destroy them. And he's going to destroy every Asherah pole. And it's not just going to be in Washington, D.C. It's going to be all throughout our country and all throughout the world. Not one left. And it says in this book I was telling you about, this Major Clues for Minor Prophets, that there won't even be the memory of them. There won't even be the memory of these idols. It'll be completely, complete. All right, so I'm going to post that over to the chat also, so you can see about that. And also, like I said, you can go to melissaredpill.com and listen to the audiobooks, and I think you'll enjoy them. It's truth that's just free. All right, I think that's everything. All right, so now I think that's it. All right, and don't forget to go and check out the pages on the health if you haven't done that already. There are specials that are going on right now. If you're not familiar with these tips for improving your health, this one right here, the health links. I found a special is going on the P2 probiotics. Probiotics are a key to your gut health. All of your other health is dependent upon your gut health being good. And so this is amazing. Definitely check into the probiotics, what you use in your house to help you to maintain your good microbiome. Because if you're killing off your good bacteria with some of the things, the stuff that you're using in your house, that's no bueno. You do not want to kill off your good bacteria. Your good bacteria need to be strong so they can overwhelm the bad bacteria and you can fight off anything that comes your way. And so they have right now the water additive. Tastes so good. It tastes like spearmint. It's so delicious. And they have that on sale right now. So definitely go and check into that. I'll put the health page on here. Also, this one right here, the silver solution, that one is on sale. They've updated their website. And so I want to make sure, if you just go to the remedies page, I'm going to pop that in there. This right here. And also on the remedies page, freedomforce.live/remedies. They have a lot of amazing specials over there that can save you money so that you can really take care of yourself. And I really appreciate them doing that. And so you use on the probiotics page, you use the promo code Melly. On the remedies page, you use, I think you're actually going to automatically get the discount. Okay, there it is. So all of these, they've got all these bundles. And when you click on Premium Select Naturals, that's the one right there. Pop this over, you'll see all these special offers go down here. They've got 12%, 13%, 18%, 35%, just a variety of ways that you can save money and use the FFB code for additional 15%. Okay, so I really appreciate them doing that. So 15% off with FFB15. I'm gonna pop that in. All right, let's pray, and we're gonna watch what the Lord is going to do to rescue us. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us our wonderful president who is going to be like Josiah and tear down all these Asherah poles, all this evil. And we know that this truth has been exposed to all the world because it's the day it'll be removed. That even the memory, even the names of these idols will be gone. It's just so hard to imagine, but we are so thankful that we're going to see peace in this world. We're going to see the end of all this evil and this corruption. And there's nothing that can stop it because this is your plan. Thank you, Lord, that you've put these beautiful signs in the heavens so that we know this is the day. Thank you that you awakened us. You touched our hearts and you brought us together. All the people here, whether it's on the Rumble channel, or the YouTube channel, or whatever, our social media, we're all joined together to be in this amazing fight. And we just can't wait for everyone to awaken. And for this, maybe it'll be on that Jubilee when we see everyone having this mass start awakening, everyone rising up to see this evil gone, just like the day of Josiah. Pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus, knowing that you are the King of the world, that no one can stop what is coming because you rule this world and that you have promised that you will be the King of the world. Everyone, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord and they'll bow the knee to you. We pray that very soon this meeting goes really well in Iran and with about the peace in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz gets settled, that will all be resolved, and that just every day their power of their evil just completely diminishes until it's completely gone, pulverized. We know that's where we're headed, and however long it takes, whatever it takes, Lord, we're in it with you to win it. And Lord, just use each one of us, however you see fit, to share the truth so that people can see what's really going on, and we know the word, the truth sets us free. Pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I'm so glad to see you. Okay, I'm going to be back tomorrow. I will see you tomorrow on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. All right, guys, and I'll talk to you later.
I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.